damn vampire. Mike is sad. You guys, we can't have Mike sad. I mean, he carries two shows on this radio station, and he's sad about something that happened in sports ball. Mike.
Yeah. I mean, you know, sports ball's maybe not our favorite topic most days, but that's why we want you to feel... I'm sorry, I'm having microphone issues over here.
Yeah, I mean, the previous show broke your microphone.
They did.
And just walked away and left a piece of apple.
Oh, wow.
And an earring that might be mine.
So you're not the only one who's frustrated,
I can
Mike.
See there's some sadness in
But I want you to take the floor and tell us why sports ball is actually important in this moment.
In this topic, it certainly is, because it's tying to a much bigger topic and discussion. You know when you love something and then you realize that other people who you might not agree with in life love the same thing and you feel dirty about loving it?
Yeah.
That's how I feel right now, because the NFL, especially the NFL X / Twitter, has really gone after one individual. A couple of nights ago, USC women's basketball, the ladies, they were playing an opponent in the tournament, and who showed up to the game but the starting quarterback from the USC, Caleb Williams. Now, he not only is the one of the best quarterbacks in the country, he's likely, and I think it's already pretty much been decided, going to be drafted number one. He's going to go to Chicago. He's going to be their quarterback. So the most important position at the most watched sports in the world is going to be heading to the Bears, because they have the first overall pick and they need a quarterback. Mm. Well, he shows up and they scan the camera over to him, to which point he's shown waving to the camera, and he is wearing some sort of like pink lip gloss. He has got his nails done and painted, and he is holding his pink phone in his hand.
Okay. So,
and people,
the internet
their
blew up at that point.
Oh,
God.
Oh, because he's a man and men are
very manly.
And it's a manly man sport. And only men can play manly men sports, and men. It's awful. So basically, yeah, social media absolutely exploded. We had so many ridiculous tweets and different things that went out after that. You got accounts that are people that... they aren't necessarily tied to networks, so they're not going to get any backlash, but they're also people that are social media accounts that have enough followers that people actually watch them for news. They're posting out like terrible.
Have these people met A-Rod?
Well,
or like other athletes who just have their own, you know, like they just have their own personality,
their own style, their own personality.
Yeah. Look at Dennis Rodman, for God's sake.
Oh, exactly.
Or not A-Rod. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Dennis Rodman.
A-Rod. Not A-Rod. I was like, wait a minute.
That's why I paused for a second. I was like, do you know something?
I was like, that's not... See, again, sports ball. Yeah. Hi. I'm no. But yeah, I meant Dennis Rodman. Mm-hmm. Like, there are people like this. This is what I...
And he's like 21.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing is, like, I'm so grateful that, like, people are unburdened by all this, like, in order to be a really successful man in sports, you have to look and act a certain way.
Yeah.
It's dumb. This generation has freed themselves from all this crap, and they don't care.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't care.
Certainly a lot more than when you and I grow up.
That's right.
So basically the very first, I mean, just the hours of just homophobic tweets that came out, because
that's
instantly
exactly
that was the assumption. And there was all these different tweets and pictures. Like I said, this one account had like, oh, check out his new footwear for next season. It was football shoes, but they were like stilettos or something. And like, it's just like stuff like that. And what you're doing is you're taking a whole generation of people who love football that maybe, I don't know, I choose to believe most people are good. Some people just haven't been exposed to certain things, so they might have terrible opinions, or they might have
just terrible
people. Well, there's that as well. Yes, I get that. There's that as well. Maybe that's part of this. I'm trying to be, but I'm also trying to say that this doesn't help anything when you're using fandom. And that's the other thing, because around sports, I just hate the idea of this fandom and the tribalism that goes around in sports, where it's like something that you literally have no control over. Like, you can be a fan, and that's awesome, and I love fans. I love being a fan of NFL teams, and I love fellow Vikings fans, and that support system. Everyone's just, like, coming together, hoping for good. You got the heartbreak. You got the sadness. It's all great. It's a fun environment. But then you also have these people in there that just ruin it and feel like it's a... I kind of said it in the thing. It's like almost a gateway to say, oh, it's okay for us to make these jokes about this guy and make homophobic comments because, oh, we're just a part of fandom, and we're part of this... group of...
You're like, oh, you don't get it. It's not for... Yeah, like it's a very... internal conversation that you shouldn't be a part of. So yes. if you're bothered by it, you're not meant to be here. Which is an exclusionary, like it just further exacerbates all of the problems with toxic fandom, period.
For sure. Yeah. And if you encounter this, I would challenge you, because you do sometimes where you're like, wait, my friend just showed me this, or I just saw them retweet something. Like, speak up. Yeah. Like, go, hey, or just, it's hard
like,
to do.
Are you so insecure in yourself?
What are you saying?
You're like, bothered by how somebody else expresses themselves? Like, why does that affect you?
Yeah, just even making a comment like, I don't see how it's important. I mean, he's a good football player.
Exactly. And I know, like
he's so good.
Yeah. And I, from my own personal experience, like, I grew up in a small rural town. I had certain ideas and certain concepts that have just always been instilled in me. And then all of a sudden, I go to a college. It's a pretty small college. You start to experience different things. Then I move in with some roommates, and it's a whole different experience. And I'm like, every one of those experiences brings different light, brings different...
For you, it did. But what you're pointing out is that there are a lot of people for whom they've had that opportunity like you did, but they chose to not, be kind or curious or be, you know, caring. Like, those are all things that are more attributed, like, I think, indicative of the kind of person you are, Mike, which is a very thoughtful, kind person. And hopefully there are more of those. The problem is, in this situation, those narrow-minded small voices are so echoed
in social media
in a way that just makes it seem like so loud, which really just... you know, is unfortunate for people who have to then see it or hear it or be a part of it.
Yeah. And not that it matters any around of his sexuality or what he wants to do or what he wants to look like or anything like that. But like you said, it's tough because these people, this concept is why there are no openly gay. Right now, I think Carl Nassib was the last openly gay player and he retired this past year. And it was like, this is just such a, you know, who doesn't care? The other football players on the team.
Yeah.
They want a guy that plays well. And
if they
don't
do, you gotta ask yourself, what's that about?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
In the year 2024, like, because it's like, you just have to then begin to wonder, what is that person dealing with that they can't be comfortable with somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It says a lot more, which is a different way of thank God, a different dynamic than, say, you know, when you and I grew up on. And it was like, there weren't people going, well, let's think about this.
It was just like,
this is the way it is.
We had zero people in my high school that were outwardly gay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, same.
None.
Zero.
Like,
zero.
But then you grow up.
My three closest friends in high school, we were all gay.
Yeah.
Didn't know.
Yeah.
Each other were gay.
Sure.
Because we were all separately in our own closets because there was just no.
Right.
I mean, and, you know, hindsight, like. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, if I had shown up, I'd have been like, girls, come on now. You're not fooling anyone.
I hope you can have that conversation now.
What do you mean?
With those friends.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Good.
No. We had that conversation about 5 minutes after high school, because once we left that environment, and I was in the South. I mean, you were further South, too. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that in terms of school, I shouldn't just blame it on geography, but I think at least at that moment in history, it was probably more so because of our geography, because the culture in high school
was not okay to be gay,
heterosexual, masculine. Like, you couldn't be anything but a masculine man and
a girly girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And let's just bring up the fact that just because he's wearing pink nail polish and pink lip gloss and has a pink phone doesn't mean anything.
Oh, well, of course, not anymore.
And I think he has a girlfriend, I believe.
That's what I
love. So it's not like, it's just he can be who he wants to
be.
And the idea that
that's what I love
because it does change people's minds, because everybody just assumes people are, you know, like, oh, that's gay. First of all,
okay.
There's so many. We can have that conversation, but like, oh, look, people come in all shapes and sizes.
I hope he does it more.
And likes and affiliations and affectations. Yeah.
Not absolutely. Only does it more, but owns it. And hopefully the fans rally behind it and say, because you got some fans that are like, oh, I'm sure glad we don't have the first pick, so we don't have to deal with this guy or
good
we don't do
God.
Whatever. I'm literally, you're seeing that constantly.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's disgusting.
And I hopefully, and I don't know, Chicago, I don't know. We'll see. But hopefully enough of their fan base will be like, hey, let's just rally around this guy. And I think, Don, your point is the point I wanted to come out of this entire thing is if this behavior is happening or you're seeing it or your friend group and you're a fan, yeah, call it out and just be like, dude, this ain't cool, this isn't right.
I hope that Chicago Bears fans that are not down with being this kind of awful toxic fans, I hope that they all come to the game with pink fingernails. Wouldn't
absolutely,
that be
yeah.
amazing?
That'd
and
be awesome.
Just did like spirit hands yep. in the air every time he does something wonderful.
Absolutely.
I don't know, that'd be cool.
Yeah. It would be.
We would do it here in Minnesota. A Vikings fan.
I would like.
I mean, he's still a Bears, so I don't know. I'm not, no thanks.
Yeah, I don't know that we're exactly. going that far.
No, no, I'm just saying, if it happened in Minnesota, I hope that would be better.
100%.
Yeah.
Well, I hope so too.
Pass on him. We'll take him at three, or wherever we can trade up to. Trust me.
When we come back, Kim Kardashian is getting sued.
Well, that's too bad, isn't
by
it?
A foundation that would like to talk to her about knockoffs. Particular knockoffs that she was trying to, attribute to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That somebody is no longer with us. And Dawn will tell us the whole story about the mystery of who's suing Kim and why when we come back right here on My Talk.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Welcome back to the show. It's The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn on My Talk 107.1. Kim Kardashian, she's a very rich woman. She is a businesswoman.
Just in case you guys don't know this Kim Kardashian lady.
This lady who started out on a reality show is a great businesswoman. We can all agree on that.
She's a great
manager.
You know,
she's built an empire, and she, her Skims line is like beyond Thunderdome, okay? Now, someone is suing her. It happens to be Donald Judd's foundation.
Who's Donald Judd?
Donald Judd is an artist a late artist. So he has passed away, and he was a renowned artist. He made one-of-a-kind furniture that are basically like unique design sculptures. Okay.
Okay. Isn't it just furniture, though?
Right.
It depends. When you charge a bunch of money, you call it art.
Yeah. I mean, just think of like if you watch the show Beef. You didn't?
No.
Oh, come on now, Mike.
Oh, yeah. Didn't watch Beef?
Why you got to judge? We're talking about Kim Kardashian.
I know. I was just going to give an example.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If you guys listening out there watch Beef,
there's
this big deal about this chair that they're trying to sell or hide. And it's like the same thing. It's just a freaking chair.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's giving a tour of her Skims office back in 2022. And that thing was huge. I watched that little tour she gave, big tour. You're like, whoa.
Also, no one can sit at that table. I don't understand.
This is a complex, yes.
Like, there's literally nowhere for your legs to go.
Well, those are chairs that are pushed in there.
Oh.
All right. So, so I have this on our show links page. You can check out the table and chairs. So she's walking through the office and, you know, Kim's like, oh, these are all Donald Judd original sculptures. And then she's like, oh, and you're like, I don't know who that is, but it must be important. Well, For, I guess, over a year now, they've been figuring out how to sue Kim Kardashian because they have a loss. The Donald Judd Foundation says that's not his furniture.
Oh, God. Can you imagine, like, you're watching the thing and you're like, girl, that ain't no Donald Judd.
And then it's your job that you are, you know, carrying on this man's legend and legacy through a foundation, you know, and he's known for this.
Why are they suing just like for lie or like what's the actual law that she's breaking by saying she's lying? Sure. At worst, she's lying. At best, she's misinformed.
That's what I would say. So they are suing for defamation. I don't know. Just that isn't our art and don't say it is. Basically, I don't know what law that falls under.
It says here that it tarnished their reputation. Her basically giving publicity to what looked like basically saying that piece of crap on her show was his art made everybody else go, ew, I don't want that crap.
Okay.
Or at least that's what it says in this TMZ article.
Right. So I don't think she even knew. Because the design company she works with, that Clements Design Incorporated Design, that's her design team. They designed her home, all of her stuff.
So that's you're saying team. Take it up with them.
Yes. If they're going to sue anybody, but you know how lawsuits go. They sue anybody that could have some money. So they're like, we should sue her too.
Well, and the visibility because, hey, guess what you're doing, Dawn? Talking about it. So the fact that they sued her and not, if they had sued some design company.
They did. They're suing both.
No. I know. But what I'm saying is if they had just sued that company, no one would talk about it because we don't care.
Yeah.
But the fact that we added Kim to that. So I see why they added her, whether or not she's actually going to be, you know, held liable seems a little bit of a stretch.
Because you would have to prove that she knew that they were knockoffs.
You'd think. Yeah.
I mean, there would have had to be in some paper trail and they, I mean, is this what we're doing? What, you have to dig through her emails to see if
he ever said,
I am totally fine with having a knockoff of Donald Judd's furniture. You basically have to have something like that in evidence. So.
Or at the very least, they're trying to get a settlement.
That's true. Sure.
And for her to say, I'm sorry, but these, because I am assuming they're saying there was reputational damage to his brand because she showed these like crappy knockoffs, because I'm sure they don't want people to think, again, it is a very specific thing and I'm not saying I'm here for it. I'm just saying I think like they just think this is a great like publicity stunt because it'll help burnish their brand in a way they felt like she ruined it.
I feel like all of it, the knockoff and the table itself, the real Judd art, looks so uncomfortable. They're wooden chairs. It's a wooden table.
It kind of looks like kind of IKEA-y.
Yeah, and it's like, I am not going to feel good sitting in that chair. It's cold. It doesn't have a cushion. I don't like it.
Feels there's like church.
Church. There's some storage in there,
though. I was an altar
boy.
I sat on chairs just like that.
FYI, that ain't no Catholic church. That is some Protestant furniture. Uncomfortable. We'll be right back here on The Adventure.
Responsibly B21.
There are radio stations that specialize in politics and other serious matters. Good for them. We do something a little lighter. Seriously lighter. My Talk 107.1.
His nap. So I guess the fortune teller. The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn, My Talk 107.1. Well, we haven't done this segment for a while, but we really do feel like that the story that Bradley's going to tell us about is fitting. We're going to do a little unsolved
mystery. What is that?
Unsolved Mysteries of the Unknown. No. But it's probably aliens or ghosts.
It is actually, I can tell you, this is actually probably aliens. And it is only because of an episode, and I put a link in there. That's not the link that you need to.
Okay, I was just like, uh-oh.
I know.
I linked that on our show page.
It's one of the things. Here, I'm going to put the real link. Okay. It's just a Wikipedia entry.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to ask you a question, you guys. And I got this from an episode of the show I've been watching dutifully now on Netflix called Three Body Problem. It's that sci-fi show I told you about.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of the wow signal?
No.
No, okay. I'm not.
So it was referenced in an episode, and it was referred to as essentially, you know, those like satellite programs that they had listening to like interstellar space to see if we'd pick up any alien signals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're very popular in the 70s and 80s. And I don't think we do much of that anymore, although there are many other ways we can try to detect alien civilizations. But back in that time, and it was referenced in this show, and I was like, I don't think I've ever heard of the WOW signal. It was described on the show as the one moment that we may have actually had contact from an extraterrestrial planet.
Okay. Meaning now you're talking.
Extraterrestrial civilization, meaning it's the one. And I was like, the one time? Is that a thing? So I quickly stopped the episode and Googled the WOW signal. And sure enough, it is like the one time we've actually heard something that scientists cannot definitively say was not an extraterrestrial civilization. Like, it very well could have been. There's a lot of skepticism, but there's not a lot of disproving of what the WOW signal was. Now, before I answer any other questions you have, because I'm sure you have questions, you might be asking, why is it called the WOW signal?
Why is it called the WOW signal?
Because, Dawn, when they were monitoring these sounds from outer space, you know, they get all these numbers back like, do-do-do, this is normal, this is normal. Well, when the guy or gal, I don't know which at this point, was looking through the results of a signal that came through, they realized that this was actually a very unique signal and potentially came from outer space or from an extraterrestrial civilization. So in the margin, after circling that signal, they wrote the words WOW.
That's why it's the WOW signal.
No, it's
signal.
Why, yeah, so that
Whoa.
Signal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, does that, like, I was completely flabbergasted by it.
And was it an audible sound or was it just like something that they picked up in deep space?
Yeah, that I don't know. I don't know if there's like an actual tape of the sound or something like
okay.
that.
Okay.
But they, you know, it comes through and there's a series of numbers that they were looking at on a printout.
Mm-hmm.
And I was completely fascinated because this is the one time that I am aware of that we've actually had. Because again, like we joke about how you're the alien believer and little green men and abductions and all that
sure,
stuff.
Sure, sure.
But like, I am here for the possibility that there are alien civilizations out there. And here is the one time, the one possibility that we've actually had verifiable evidence that there was an alien civilization communication. Now, I will say there was that one communication. It happened once. It was not measured by any other, it wasn't repeated by another observatory. So they have, it's just the one observation. But again, that one observation, they're not able to actually repeat it.
Okay.
So, or excuse me, not repeat it, disprove it.
Right. So normally when we hear about these things, like there's a sound coming from space, they usually attribute it to like, well, that's just, you know, an asteroid belt going through. You know, it's something that scientists can explain or they can say,
yeah.
Oh, well, you know, it's probably this.
Well, and in fact, so that's what I thought, because I'm like, I've heard these stories before where they say to us, you know, there's this weird noise. We can't tell what it is, but it probably is just some background universe thing. Like, there's nothing really weird about that. Well, in this case, they've actually disproven that it could be any sort of background noise.
Yeah.
Because they were saying, like, maybe it's just a sound from Earth that bounced off of something, and then we heard it this way.
Oh.
Right? Like, there's they say, well, okay, anything's possible, but the likelihood is low that it was any background Earth interference. And then they actually narrowed down to two places in the universe where...
Yeah.
In the universe, like which galaxy it could be from. I think it was from like the, what do you call it? The constellation of Sagittarius?
Oh, okay.
Constellation.
Yeah.
The I don't know, Sagittarius, wherever that is.
So do Sagittarians hear it and we don't? No.
Yeah.
That is so cool. And this is a part of Three Body Problem, which is a Netflix show.
Well, yeah, it was a reference in Three Body Problem, which is a show I've been watching on Netflix.
And that is something you're all on board. You want us to watch it. I'm almost done with Feud, so I'll start watching it then. Can you tell us like a little bit about the show?
Oh, yeah.
What it's about?
The show itself is great. I mean, and it involves sort of extraterrestrial research. That's like a part, that's a theme in the show. It's mm-hmm. sort of like part of the plot. I don't know where it's going yet because I'm only about three episodes in. But in it, there is this scene again where they're like, well, did you know about the WOW signal in 1977? It was the one time we've heard a communication, or what likely could have been the only time we've ever heard a communication from an alien civilization. I was like, is that real? And it turns out it's real. Whether it was actual aliens, we don't know. And there's a possibility it's not. But it's certainly the closest thing we've ever come to. Wow. Which I didn't know about. I mean, and again, I feel like I've watched a lot of those dumb alien shows on the History Channel, and I know you have, and you hadn't even heard about it.
I had not heard about it. Mike, you hadn't heard of it either.
Not either, no. This is fascinating.
It is cool. I want to know more about it. Surely there's some kind of a documentary on, like, the Sci-Fi Channel or, well, History or, I don't know. It's hard to tell what network does what anymore.
Yeah.
Because
and there very well could be. I don't know. I hadn't done much research other than I just read the Wikipedia page last night. But I thought, I wonder if Dawn has heard about this because, well, she's an alien lady. And the fact that you hadn't makes me think, like, I wonder why more people haven't tried to dig into this. Because if it is truly the one closest thing we have to an actual signal.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of, but not really, because this thing was an audible sound. But remember, there was all of this like audible phenomena happening where people in different cities were hearing this strange sound. It almost sounded like the sound of a horn or something. And it was like in different cities at different times. And people thought it was a hoax. I don't even know what it ended up actually being, but
they
just could not really determine what it was.
I do know that there's like a weird sound in South Minneapolis that has been around for years, and people have not been able to like pinpoint where the sound comes from. But people from all over different parts of the south side of Minneapolis have talked about this like hum that they hear.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. This was like a hum, but it was also like almost like trumpet sounding, and then religious people were like, it's a sign of revelation where the angels are coming.
Well, I mean,
and then
knows?
You know,
I will say this show, Three Body Problem, again on Netflix, they do you're not sure where it's going. You're like, is this sci-fi or is there some kind of religious thing going on here?
Yeah.
So you're not quite sure. Because of course, obviously, I think, you know, when you talk about things like that, they can go from one side of like one person's religion is another person's aliens.
True.
Right? Because it'd be like, that wasn't angels in the clouds. That was little green man.
Yes. Yes. I notice in this Three Body Problem, just for Game of Thrones fans, like it's created by the Game of Thrones people. And also there's a very recognizable character from Game of Thrones in the trailer. Mm. I can't remember what his name was. Mike, the character's name of the guy who was Kit Harrington's friend at the wall. The guy who was, you know.
Oh, Samwell Tarly. Or
yeah.
Tarly. Samwell Tarly, I think is his name.
Yeah.
Yeah, his buddy. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he was so great in the show. And it looks like they put him in this show.
Oh,
as
nice.
Well,
okay.
So,
cool.
That's
yeah.
good to know. Well, we'll put the link to the Wikipedia page for the WOW signal. If anybody else has heard about it and you do know of like a documentary or something where somebody has talked about it, I bet it would be absolutely fascinating. But when we come back, Dawn has not gone to be with the aliens just yet. In fact, when we come back, we need to talk about a couple of possibilities for an upcoming Food Porn Friday.
Yes.
And one of them comes from our good friends at Papa John's, say good friends loosely, and Chips Ahoy.
Oh,
when we
yeah.
come back. Mm-hmm. Right here on My Talk.
Your energy is yours.
Welcome back. It's The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn, and we're going to talk about food porn, but don't be confused. It isn't Friday yet, It's Thursday, but we are excited about a couple of items that could show up in a future Food Porn Friday.
I'm very excited to tell you about a couple of things that are coming our way. And the first of them involves a word that just apparently titillated you yesterday, Dawn.
Yeah.
Papa John's. Mike, have you seen this?
I've not.
Introduces
Ooh.
Crispy Cuppy-Roni.
Cuppy-Roni?
Don was like, Cuppy-Roni? What is Cuppy-Roni?
Yeah.
Do you know what Cuppy-Roni is, Mike?
Sounds like a pet name for somebody. You're my little Cuppy-Roni.
You're my little Cuppy-Roni.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, what's a Cuppy-Roni? Those tiny little pepperonis, you know, like when you cook them, they turn into
little guys.
Like little cups.
Yeah.
And then the
little
grease
cups of grease.
In it.
Yeah,
yes.
Right? Well, you can have your own shot glasses of grease thanks to Papa John's new lineup. just think about all the grease that's going to. Oh, man, it's so good.
Yeah.
Anyway, they've introduced this limited release of something called Crispy Cuppy-Roni. Which involves, I just think, like, who is, like...
Same people that name, like, lipsticks.
Who's working over there? They've got, it's definitely a Gen Z-er that's like, Crispy Cuppy-Roni!
You think so?
Like, little cutie words? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm all here for it. But anyway, you might now be asking yourself, well, where are these little Cuppy-Ronis going to be? Well, on a traditional pizza, pepperoni pie with they call it cupping pepperoni. And... Then they've also got it in their papadilla, so their Roni papadilla, Crispy Cuppy Roni papadilla. All those words do
that
not sound like English.
Like my Italian aunt.
Crispy Roni Cuppy-Roni papadilla.
You know what it reminds me of looking at the picture? Is it Beluda?
Beludo?
Beludo. Their pizza that we had delivered.
Yeah,
had
they have those tiny little pepperonis.
Yeah, it's kind of similar. And that's what made it so great because it curls up and then it's crispy around the edge.
Yeah, because it crisps up. It's not just like sloppy in the grease.
Yeah.
Crispy Cuppy-Roni Papa Bites are also a part of that. And they're kind of like the pepperoni. What did you call those things that we made?
They're pizza rolls.
By we, I mean you. The pizza rolls. Yeah. They kind of look like pizza rolls.
See, that doesn't give the same effect to me. Because what you want is a pool of grease in the middle of a Cuppy-Roni.
Yeah, also with the papadilla, because they kind of get smothered by the crusty crust that gets folded over. But look, I'm still here for it. I think we should try the regular Cuppy-Roni pizza. Also, I just love pepperoni pizza. So
good.
It's crispy and it's just like...
It's
so satisfying.
It is. So right? It does something. The cheese, the combination of the pepperoni. I'm describing food right now. I can't believe it. And it definitely matters when the crust is thin, because then you don't have a lot of grease trapped in the crust. And
you're
then
not one
I
of those people who like dabs grease off of pizza, are you?
Uh-oh.
Are you one of those people?
I do sometimes, but I wouldn't with this because the point is to drink the grease.
Don't say drink the grease. Mike, are you a dabber?
I'm not a dabber. Do I look like a dabber?
I didn't think so, but I don't want to just assume.
Sometimes. It just depends how greasy it is.
I mean, if it's going to taste the flavor, make it. The flavor tastes a little off because it's that greasy.
I mean,
like, I've had pizza that's like that, where it's just awful. It's so greasy.
It gives me a bellyache.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
If I don't.
Yeah. Oh, otherwise it's totally fine. It's just the tiny little sheen of grease.
If it has a lot of grease, I try to take a paper towel.
You're better than we are. That's the point, Dawn. It's fine. No, it's okay.
I wasn't saying that.
No, I'm saying that. You're just... Like, because I don't care. I'm like,
it's
get that grease in me.
Also,
I'm going to salt my pizza. So we
you
don't...
have a gut that is more advanced than
mine. Not have a gut that is. How so?
Well, I think that you've introduced your gut to a lot more crap than I have. But you also, what I don't understand, since during the week, all we see you eat is like the healthiest stuff at work.
Yeah.
Like the stuff you make
food. Yeah.
Yeah, in the
you eat healthy
instant
during the
pot.
Week.
What?
You eat like you've been having your soup this week. You eat real healthy.
I do, and that's why I get a bellyache if I eat something like this.
I usually only like if I'm going to have pizza, it's probably going to be on a weekend unless there's a special occasion or I'm on a cruise, but I don't eat it a ton, but you know how it is, like you treat yourself.
Oh, I'm yeah, absolutely.
But I don't get belly aches, or if I do, I'm just like, well, it's the price of admission for living
Mike,
a good life.
Are there, would this affect your belly?
I don't think so.
Mike,
belly's
would
pretty
this
strong.
Affect your belly?
No.
Again,
belly can handle a lot.
I feel like, yeah, I feel like we're good. Hey, now pizza is on one side. You got to have a sweet treat after you have pizza because it's so salty.
If if you're going to have a day where you're eating, like, you got to get some dessert.
Yeah, you got to, and you just got to counteract all that grease.
Absolutely.
Have you ever enjoyed a Chips Ahoy?
I've eaten one, but that doesn't mean I enjoyed it.
Really? Okay, I want you to tell me more about that. But Mike,
I've eaten one and I have enjoyed one.
Okay. Well, Dawn, I want to hear why you haven't enjoyed your Chips Ahoy.
Because
why'd you just stick your tongue out?
Well, I was just thinking about it as a kid. I'm like, this is like a cardboard cookie. Oh. They're too crispy and hard. And I don't get a real chocolate chip cookie taste. I just get like a, it's not even good like a.
Now, did you
really
always think
it.
That? Because I can understand that as an adult. But when I was a kid, we didn't have. Well, you had, like, your mom was probably making, I mean, my mom made cookies, but
my mom was making pies from garden food.
But when I was a kid, Chips Ahoy was like, that was basically the only cookie we had.
Right.
And fudge stripes.
Fudge stripes. And then we had Keebler.
Well, and then we had Soft Batch.
That's what changed
soft
everything.
Batch, soft Bake. What's it called? Soft Batch?
Soft Batch.
Yeah. Soft Batch, Mike, mm-hmm. I want you to understand, was a revolution
okay
in the cookie in our world.
What do you like, got? What is it? What's special about it?
It's a soft cookie.
So it's the first like shelf stable, like store bought cookie that was soft, because up to that point all our cookies were hard AF.
So right. It's interesting because you're talking about Chips. I only remember Chips Ahoy being super soft.
Oh no.
Where did you get those?
Well, I guarantee you, if you go get one right now, they're very moist. They're full
it's
of preservatives.
Totally different.
They are?
It's,
yeah. Oh yeah, Chips Ahoy are really moist.
I think
that's
I'm going to break my teeth when I see those.
When you were talking about it, I was like, I don't experience that. I never have.
Mike, well, we also had them.
Sucked.
They were in a red package, Dawn. They're in a blue.
They're
package
in a blue package now. Yeah,
and I think they're soft. But the reason we're talking about them is because they have. Improved them. That
good.
Is
there's only one way to go but up.
So apparently, I did not know this, but there are 18 different ways they have improved this cookie. Tastier, chocolate, the right amount of chocolate chips, and just the right cookie texture.
Oh,
so
good.
This will roll out to stores nationwide in April, and I think we should try them because, Mike, to Dawn's point, Chips Ahoy was kind of just like, you know, it was a store-bought cookie, and it wasn't very exciting.
No, it wasn't. And my mom didn't buy them anyway, so I would get them, like, at a picnic or something if somebody else brought them.
And then people are like, oh, that's Dawn. She's the cookie snob.
Oh, my God. That's no.
Her mom only makes natural cookies.
I know. It's like Elizabeth Reese was my
meanwhile,
mom.
I'm, like, putting fistfuls of Little Debbies into my mouth.
Oh, now it looks like that Chips Ahoy is so confident that they're enlisting beloved actor Keke Palmer to promote the rollout of these cookies.
Okay. Sounded like you just read off a press release.
Oh, I did. And they're launching an elaborate sweepstakes. Lucky winner can score a trip to Malibu.
Oh, that's fun. What the hell does Malibu have to do with chocolate chip cookies?
Well, I don't know. They're like, what can we give away?
But I do think we should try them because I'd be curious what a Chips Ahoy actually tastes like in the year 2023.
Your mind's going to be blown.
Is it?
Apparently
it was. Because I was the same way. I never had them as a kid. That's probably why I never experienced them being really
did
hard like that.
Did you not eat store-bought cookies?
No, we did not. She'd make cookies. It was just store-bought Pop-Tarts for me.
Cookie
it was all
snobs.
The Pop-Tarts, but not cookies.
No, my mom made cookies, but like we still had like fudge stripes, Nutter Butters.
No.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, you're right. Because, you know, nowadays, every coffee shop you go into, like every restaurant where it's like casual, fast casual.
There's a cookie.
There's soft big cookies up at the counter.
We didn't have those. Okay, two things we didn't live in a world of, Mike.
Yeah.
We grew up, we had to cut our teeth on ice cream with no mix-ins.
Oh, no.
There was no such thing as cookie
except
dough.
Except for butter brickle.
Well, yeah. Grandma's ice cream, right? Like it was nuts. That was about the only thing. Nuts or chocolate chips you would get, maybe some fruit.
And that little bit of toffee in that butter brickle.
Not when we were kids. I think that came late.
Okay.
But my point is, like, we didn't have a lot of options. There were like four flavors of ice cream.
Yeah.
There were like four cookies.
Tragic.
And kids these days don't appreciate.
I don't.
The snack desert we lived in.
It's so bad that I had to just take my finger and put it in the brown sugar.
Yeah.
Oh, I did that.
Oh, for sure.
Or get a knife and put some peanut butter on it.
Our cereal, we had to put sugar on our cereal.
Yeah, we did. We did. Because my mom would give me that bowl of rocks.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Well, for me, sugar cereal.
And I put sugar on it.
Every once in a while, my mom would allow me to buy a sugar cereal, but it was a treat. And usually it was things like the regular cereal had to be like cornflakes or raisin bran. Or
yeah,
my
raisins,
mom's favorite,
that was a treat.
Rocks.
Yeah.
Which was also your mom's favorite,
uh-huh,
right?
For sure. You want some rocks? She'd say, and I'd go, okay.
Yeah. And then I don't know if you ever had those shredded wheat.
Oh, yeah.
But not the sweet ones.
Yeah, just regular shredded wheat.
Eating hay.
Mm-hmm.
Who thought that was a good idea?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Cuppy Ronies and new Chips Ahoy. We're going to try them next month. You fine with that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to talk about more stuff. Oh,
more
speaking
food.
Of food, Dawn's going to talk about her English muffin obsession.
Yeah.
And it has to do.